Good morning, everybody. It is good to be back in Spokane. If you didn't know, we were in Orlando for a week, and the weather was 85, sunny, beautiful, and I brought it back with me, so you are welcome. My message today is entitled Flight 2544. And I went on vacation and had an incredible time. We did the different parks. Do we have any roller coaster fans here? Okay. There is a roller coaster in Universal Studios, and it is called the Velocicoaster. And it is phenomenal. My favorite coaster ever. We got to ride that, and Belinda didn't want to go on it with me, and I made her. And they put us in line, and we ended up being right at the front of the coaster. And Belinda was not happy. And it was amazing. She now thanks me for making her go on that, but she says I'll probably never go on it again. So we had an incredible time. We traveled with Stephanie and Connor and Paisley and Hallie. And if you don't know Paisley and Hallie, they're both under 2 years of age. And if you've ever flown with little ones, it is a whole different ballgame. So, that in mind, I am going to share a little story. If you're new here to New Hope Christian Center, we believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to get the scriptures here. We don't pull punches. You're going to get the truth. A lot of Christian churches have moved away from teaching the Word of God, which I think is sacrilege, actually. And they are more about telling stories. Well, today you're going to get one of those stories. It is my story, and I want to bring you along to what God did on this trip. So on Monday night, which is the night before we were to come back to Spokane, we got everything ready as much as you can. And we had two little ones, like I said, and there's so much stuff. So much stuff. We had a double stroller, and everywhere you went, you had the stroller, and hopefully the kids would be happy being in the stroller, but a lot of times, you're pushing an empty stroller. And I swear, one night this week at home, I was sleeping, and I woke up, and my hands were like this. But we got everything together as much as we could the night before. We needed to be at the airport by 5:45 because our flight left at 7:45. That meant we got up at 4:15 and got everything, and we got out of the hotel room by about 5 o'clock, and we made it to the airport, and there were about 1,000 other people flying out of Southwest. I've never seen a bag check-in line this long. And they had extra people working because of the overflow of people. I mean, the line was absolutely incredible. Well, we got through that, and then you got TSA. We don't fly very often, but when we do, we want to make sure that we take advantage of every opportunity to make it less painful. So Belinda and I, a couple years ago, bought a pre-check, TSA pre-check. I highly recommend it. Because the line in the TSA pre-check is always a lot shorter than the other line. Stephanie and Connor aren't smart enough yet to have a TSA pre-check. So they got to go through the other line. So Belinda and I would go through, and then we would sit there and wait 15 to 20 minutes for them to come through. And we got everything situated. And our plan was we get on the flight. We leave at 7:45 from Orlando. We fly to San Antonio. We have a 40-minute layover. which we should be able to handle that. And then we fly to Phoenix, and then a small layover there, and then we fly home. And we're going to be home by 2:45 in the afternoon in Spokane, which is great because you can get stuff done, you know, settle in. I had to go to work the next day, so 2:45 in the afternoon sounded awesome. So we had everything planned. Everything was laid out, everything to the minute. We had everything. We didn't leave anything behind. And there's a quote from a John Steinbeck novel called Of Mice and Men. And it is, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry." We planned everything out. We knew where we were going, when we were going to be there, when we were going to get home. And it didn't quite go like that. And there were thousands of other people flying on Southwest Airlines that morning who had done the exact same thing as we had. And there was one man in particular, and I don't know his name, but he did the very same thing that we did. He was traveling with his family, and he had gotten up that morning, laid everything out, laid his plans out, and did the exact same thing that we had done. We got on the plane, everything went well, and we were about 45 minutes into our flight, and the captain gets on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, are there any medical personnel on board?" And I went, uh-oh. And two women stood up. They were ER nurses, I found out later. And they went past me about 15 aisles up, and a man had slumped over. He was non-responsive. They were shaking him. He was unresponsive. He had stopped breathing, and he had no pulse. So they began to do CPR on this man. And being a man of God and believing that prayer changes things, I began to pray. And it was cool because I saw a few other people who were praying as well. And then I also saw people pull their phones out and begin to record. I wanted to punch every single one of them straight in the face. And I began to pray. I just prayed. And they had laid him out on the three seats, and they were going to town on this guy. Boom, 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 boom. And they did this for about 10 to 12 minutes. And I just kept praying. It's like, "Lord, we need you to intercede here." Then we heard the guy get on the thing, and the captain, he says, "This is your captain speaking. Due to this medical emergency, we're going to have to turn the plane around and go back to Orlando." And we were 45 minutes into the flight already. So I thought, shoot. We're not going to make our connecting flight in San Antonio. And it's like, all right, I'm just going to focus on praying for this guy. They ended up going and getting the defibrillator, and they shocked him back to life. And there was people let out a cheer, and you know, and he sat up, and he was fine. When we got back to Orlando, he walked off the plane with his orange juice in his hand. And I thought, we're not going to make our connecting flight. And I hate to admit this, but what I thought was, if you had gone into cardiac arrest a half hour later, we would have gone on to San Antonio. How selfish is that? And then I repented and said, "Forgive me, Lord, It is what it is. A life has been saved. And that's what matters. So we fly back into Orlando. We land and we sit on the plane for almost an hour while they get their paperwork together. Well, when you have that kind of an incident on a plane, there's going to be paperwork. We finally get started and we get back in the air. And I just started thinking, well, so much for connecting flight to Phoenix and then to this, the da. So I started looking into flights, alternate flights out of San Antonio, what that was going to take us. We were already at a good 2.5 hours into our flight into our day, and we haven't even left Orlando yet. The worst part about it, not the worst part, when I got on the plane and we left at 7:45, I had Paisley, she's a lap child, and she went to sleep. And she was asleep for a good hour. It was a wasted nap. We're 3 hours later, and now we're starting where we were before. And you know what? When a child, an almost two-year-old child, takes an hour nap, they ain't going back to sleep anytime soon. So there was that. Instead of a 40-minute layover in San Antonio, now we were going to have a 3-hour layover. Not to mention that we had already logged about an hour and 45 minutes in the air, and we were right back where we started from. And I thought, you know what? A man's life was saved today. And I got the opportunity to pray for him, to intercede for him. I didn't even know his name. And others did as well. After our 2.5-hour flight, we landed in San Antonio, and we started our 3-hour layover. So we kept checking the boards, and everything was good. And I don't know if you've flown on Southwest. I'm not a big fan of Southwest. I don't like their pre-boarding stuff. I don't like any of that stuff. But their staff were amazing. They were absolutely amazing, and there was nothing that anybody could do about it. So we kept checking the board, make sure that our next flight going into Denver was on time. And it didn't really matter because we had a 5-hour layover in Denver. So we got that going for us. And did I mention we were traveling with two little children? So we took off and began the 2-hour and 10-minute flight to Denver. As we got closer to Denver, the pilot comes on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. There seems to be high winds in Denver right now, and we are not going to be able to land, so we will be in a holding pattern until the winds die down. Wonderful. So, I'm wrestling with Paisley, and we're just circling. Like, good Lord, how can it get worse? Seriously, how can it get worse? And then the captain comes on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. The winds are still too severe. We're going to have to circle again. But the good news is we have enough gasoline. Wonderful. So we circle again. About 20 minutes later, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're going to have to go around again. Seriously? So we go around again. About 20 minutes later, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. The winds have finally died down around Denver, and we are going to begin our descent into the airport. I went, finally. And I'm agitated, just a little bit. And so we begin our descent, and when you're traveling with lap children, there were four adults, and the two kids, well, thank you, Lord, that there was a seat in between Connor and I and a seat in between Belinda and Stephanie. So we had a little bit of a fudge room for the kids to kind of pass back and forth. Belinda's holding Paisley, and she threw up on Belinda. I looked over, and I'm sitting on the aisle seat. Belinda's sitting across on the other aisle seat. I looked over in disbelief, and she handed me Paisley. I took Paisley, watched her face contort. I was holding her. She was facing me, and she threw up on me. She threw up sour, chunky milk. It was pinkish cottage cheese, if you will. And it was sour. I'm sitting there in my seat, looking at this poor little child, because there's nothing they can do about it. And she's crying. And I want to cry, covered in puke. What do you do? Well, we first started cleaning her off. I could feel it making its way down my arms. And as we began to clean everything up, thank you, Lord. And this is wisdom. Put a clean shirt in your carry-on. I had a clean shirt, thank you, God. But I didn't have a new pair of pants. And you know what happens when you throw up here? Gravity works its way down here. And it was everywhere. So I'm thinking as I'm cleaning up, if we hadn't had to circle Denver 3 times, she would have thrown up in the airport and not on me. We continue to go down, descend, and this is when they go, okay, make sure your chair backs are in the upright position, your tables, and blah, 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 and put on your seatbelt. And I didn't have my seatbelt on because I was still clean and puke. And Belinda touches me on the arm and says, you need to put your seatbelt on because we're about to land. And I looked at her and I says, I don't care. I was a little agitated. We got off in Denver and began our now 4-hour layover because we spent an extra hour up in the air. 4-hour layover with the smell of sour milk still on my pants and in my nose. I was spraying hand sanitizer on my pants. They gave me a coffee filter with coffee, one of the packed pods or whatever, to put on my lap for the last few minutes of the flight just to not smell the stuff. We were in the airport, and I knew it was going to be a long run, and I'm just not in a good space. I'm not in a good space. And I get a text from Vern Brott, and he sends this, and it's just a simple text. It was written out like in a pyramid. And it said, Jesus is my God, my King, my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my refuge, my provider, my strength, my defender, my protector, my peace, my joy, my life, my all, my everything. That was a spiritual defibrillator straight to my soul. Because I was in a dark place, and it just jolted me back. I needed that. Thank you. And what's awesome is Vern had no idea. He had no idea what was going on. But I believe God put it on his heart to send that text at that moment because I needed it. I needed it bad. So we've continued the layover. A lot of this, you put the kids in the thing and you hope that they go to sleep. So you put a lot of walking, a lot of steps. And Belinda actually counted all of her steps for the week. And we had walked 49 miles during the week, which is good because we ate not well for 7 days. So we finally got on our last leg to Spokane, which was 2 hours and 20 minutes long. We got, nothing happened on that flight. Thank you, Lord. I finally rolled into bed that night at 1:09 in the morning. We were supposed to be home at 2:45. And I had to get up and go to work the next day. It was 1:09 in the morning, which meant it was 4:09 Orlando time. Remember what time we got up to start this day? 4:15. I'd been up for almost 24 hours. And the things that I had witnessed in those 24 hours are enough to last me for a lifetime. So I began to think, why did this happen? We had planned out our day to the T. We were going to be home by 2:45. Da, 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 da. And then this incredible string of events began to happen. What did I do wrong? I felt a little bit like Job. Why is this happening? Did I do something wrong? Have I sinned against you, Lord? What is going on? And so after I got home from work that night, I just went out, sat by the fire pit, and just went into prayer mode. And my prayer mode was, okay, God, I want some answers. I want to know what's going on. And I felt the Lord impress on me James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Great. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. I realized that I had learned a lot more in those 24 hours than I did the entire week I was in Orlando. Everything went well. We swam with the dolphins. I got to ride the roller coasters. You learn more in the trials and the tribulations than you do when everything is hunky-dory. I had learned a lot. And then I felt the Lord impress on me Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, I had my own plan, and God had another plan. And we, as believers, are created according to His purposes and His plans. If we believe in our hearts from Jeremiah that when God says, I know the plans that I have for you, they may not always jibe with our own plans. You see, when that man went into cardiac arrest, I began to pray. And I didn't really understand scientifically or biologically what was happening. So at work, I began to do some studying. about cardiac arrest. And the heart, let's see, according to the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, cardiac arrest is a medical emergency. And 9 out of 10 people who have a cardiac arrest outside of a hospital die. When he went into cardiac arrest on that airplane, he had a 10% chance of surviving. 10%. So when I went into prayer, I didn't understand the severity of the situation. I was just praying, Lord, bring him back. Bring him back. They worked on him for 10 to 12 minutes. According to the Heart Institute, every minute that goes by after the initial arrest, you have a 10% less chance of surviving and recovering. So he's already starting out with a 10% chance of living. And he went for 10 to 12 minutes of compression. Now, if you add it up, he's dead. He's not coming back. So when I didn't even realize it. When I started praying, I just prayed, Lord, let him come back. No big deal, just let him come back. But as it got later, I didn't realize what I was actually praying for was a miracle. You see, God put us on that flight for a reason. He put us on that flight for a reason. We were there to intercede for someone that we didn't even know. What if we hadn't been on that flight? What if none of the Christians who were praying had been on that flight? I believe he would have passed. We were interceding in the spiritual realm for a man in the physical realm. He'll never know my name. I'll never know his. But God worked it out. He worked it out so that we would be on that plane. In Luke chapter 2, verse 42, this is when Jesus was suffering. It's the night that he was going to be betrayed. It was the day before his crucifixion. He's in the garden and he's praying. And he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. This cup was the cup of God's wrath. He was about to take on himself all the sins of all creation. And he was going to lay his life down for us. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And I felt God just impress on me, if I had told you ahead of time what your day was going to be like, and you knew exactly what was going to happen, would you be willing to go through that again to save someone's life? Well, because I don't ever want to go through that again. I hope that I would be willing to go through that again if it meant saving someone's life. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Flight 2544 kicked off an incredible series of events, each one of them perfectly orchestrated by God. You see, if God wanted that man to die, he would have died. But God often uses his children to do the dirty work. God says, you don't have because you don't ask. You see, we are created to do and live our life according to His purposes and according to His plans, which means He wants to use us to intervene and intercede on behalf of others. I didn't know this guy from Adam. But it was the natural thing for me to do. I was sitting next to a gentleman who had a Bible when he got on, and I was talking with him. He's a real estate businessman down in San Diego. He and his wife were flying, and we got to talking and sharing, and he was a believer, and he was watching a movie or something when the whole thing happened. They started the CPR. And as I'm praying, I notice he continued watching his movie. I went, what in the world? I thought you said you're a believer. You see, God will use us. But we have to be obedient. We have to look and we don't always have to find and search out situations that are divine appointments. Sometimes they just drop in our lap. How do you react? What do you do? You see, when we go through those trials and those tribulations, when we get puked on, when we get inconvenienced, you know, it was interesting when I was driving to work the next morning. I got about 3 blocks from my house and this guy cut me off. And if you've been around any time, length of time, I don't appreciate stupid drivers. I'm not a road rage guy. I am a very courteous driver, and I expect that from others, and I know that's stupid to expect that. And I started just to kind of well up a little bit. It's like, really, dude? I haven't even gotten 3. And then I went, wait a minute. Compared to what I just went through yesterday, I'm going to let my emotions get the best of me now? Not going to happen. Not going to happen, considering what I've been through. God taught me a lesson. And when we do go through those difficult things, we learn, we grow, and we mature in our faith. So don't just get angry. And it's automatic. You don't think, oh, I think I'm going to get angry now. No, it just happens. But keep that spiritual defibrillator close. And that's this. That is this. If you're walking around in the world, stumbling around, fumbling around, you might need a good shot of the scriptures. Keep it close. Especially in the way that our country and this world is going. You're going to need to keep this defibrillator charged. Because a dead defibrillator with no battery ain't no good. This is no good to you sitting on the shelf. You know when it's good to you? When you open it up and you recharge it by allowing God to reveal Himself, who He is and who we are in Him. This is your spiritual defibrillator. Learn how to use it. Learn how to wield it. Because the days are getting dark, people. And we are to be that light in the darkness. Amen. Please rise.
God is good. Amen. We serve a good, good God. And you know, when you're in Him and He is in you, then we live life, or we should live life, with a purpose. It's not happenstance. It's not by chance. It's not a coincidence. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And He causes people to come across our path. He causes events to occur for a reason. The ultimate reason is that He will be glorified, that He will be praised when we walk in that purpose. When we're obedient to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's just a simple greeting, a simple text, like Pastor Jim said, a phone call. You never know what all the other pieces, because we see so finitely while He's infinite, right? Let's purpose in our heart that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we feel a tugging, that we will not hesitate. We will be obedient. Amen? Because that's what God wants for us. Yes, we may be inconvenienced at times, but in the grand scheme of things, what is a minor inconvenience when we're talking about eternity? We're talking about a life being saved. Amen? Sometimes we get too comfortable. God wants to shake us up and remind us that we're supposed to be depending on Him. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You're a Savior, that You're a healer, that You love us unconditionally, Lord. Even sometimes when we make ourselves virtually unlovable, You continue to love us. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for Your mercy. Your word says Your mercies are new every morning. And some of us need that, Lord. We pray for everyone watching and in here this morning, and for those that will listen later on, Lord, that Your word will speak and penetrate to our hearts, Lord. Father, that we will continue to have a renewed sense of Your presence and Your purpose for our lives. And Lord, that with Your help, we will accomplish all that You have saved us and called us to accomplish, Lord. Father, we pray for those that are sick this morning. We pray a healing touch from You upon whatever that issue is. Lord, there is nothing that's too big or too small for You, Lord. Heal us. We pray, Lord, for those that are anxious this morning. There's somebody that's anxious. I don't know what the issue is, Lord, but speak peace to that heart in the name of Jesus. Peace be still this morning. The Lord saying He's in control, and we thank You, Lord, that when we can't see our way, Lord, we know that You're still leading us and guiding us. Father, bless this week, everything we go through, every battle, Lord. We speak victory in the name of Jesus. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. May Your sweet Holy Spirit abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.